Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Coming into the final stages here of the show today. It's been a great time, by the way. Being a lawyer, I get kind of jazzed sometimes when I see the amount of differences being made right now with regards to court action. So you've seen it today. I just want to refresh your memory real quick. Today was probably one of the most landmark arguments before the Supreme Court of the United States on social issues in our lifetime. And so do not look aside for a minute. If you're pro-life and you believe in the power of prayer, then I would just suggest you be praying for those justices right now, because it's going to be a few months before we know. It might be 6 months before we know what they're going to do. And regardless of how they felt today leaving the courtroom, sometimes things change. Sometimes people get, you know, pressured. Sometimes they feel like they've got more than they can handle with the decision, and they defer. And I don't think anybody can get to the Supreme Court of the United States level and be someone who would defer on responsibilities. However, what I don't want to see is conservative jurists suddenly change their mind. And so to pray for the Supreme Court. It's also very apparent that, and Matt Clark and I talked about this too, is that Biden is on the ropes right now with his vaccine mandates. He's getting slammed left and right. Lawsuits are being filed both publicly and privately. Private citizens, I mean, filing suits, as well as states filing suits is what I'm trying to say. And it's apparent right now, based upon the rulings that are coming out, that the Biden administration was in a complete realm of unconstitutional overreach on the majority of its actions. Now, arguably, with the exception of possibly allowing for certain exemptions, federal employees, military members are likely stuck with having to get the mandated shot. I get that. There are some exceptions, like I said, exemptions related to religious accommodation or for medical accommodations. Yes. However, where you're going to find great overreach in that regard is when they begin mandating vaccinations for military families. That ain't going to fly. But then on the other side of this too, you've got the other mandates, the CMS, the medical healthcare facility mandates. You've got the OSHA mandate, which deals with private employers that have 100 or more employees. You've got the DOD contractor mandates, and those are all taking major hits right now in the courts. And I do believe we're going to see the majority of that go away, and lessons will be learned, hopefully, that future administrations will recognize that, like the judge said in the Louisiana case that Alabama is a part of yesterday, is that when you centralize all those powers into one branch of government, you cannot possibly expect there not to be an infringement upon constitutional liberties. All right. Hey, listen, let me go back to the last part of the Triple Dipper. All right. Talking about social media, talking about the online platforms, talking about who checks the fact checkers. Dadgum, who checks the fact checkers? I mean, these folks are amazing with the gall by which they do certain things. So here's a story for you. By the way, in case you didn't know it, Rasputin has resigned. So Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, has resigned from his position as president of Twitter, or CEO, and they've brought in a new guy. The guy's name, and I hope I pronounce it correctly, his name is Parag Agrawal. I believe he is Indian-born. Am I correct in saying that? I think that's true. But Parag Agrawal is the new CEO of Twitter. He's been with Twitter now for about 10 or 11 years. He's a tech guy. He's an engineer. He's a 37-year-old computer scientist with a PhD from Stanford who's been developing the company's artificial intelligence technology and staying largely out of public view. Well, he comes in not without controversy. He brings a little bit of baggage with him, if you will. And one of the first things that needs to be talked about before I tell you about some new policies that immediately went into effect when Parag Agrawal became the new CEO of Twitter is that Parag Agrawal has some tweets in his background. You know how they dug up stuff on Chief Justice Kavanaugh that was like 40 years old and tried to make something that wasn't true seem true by saying that when he's a teenager, he did some things. And you see the same thing happen to like Kevin Hart before he could host the Academy Awards. Tweets that he had from years ago are coming up. All right. Well, how about Parag Agrawal, who is now in charge of the organization from which a majority of Americans get their news and which has been known to censor based upon content they find objectionable. He tweeted out in 2010, I know, a long time ago, right? In 2010, he tweeted out, if they're not going to make a distinction between Muslims and extremists, then why should I distinguish between white people and racists? Why was that allowed to be okay? Well, it was back in 2010, Parag Agrawal, now CEO of Twitter, said that. And he immediately got kind of some hits for it back then, but he tried to come back and say, no, I was just quoting a comedian that was on what show? The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And a guy named Asif Mandvi, who was talking about the fact that Muslims are too often confused with, you know, extremists. And yet, his tweet didn't seem to come across that way. And if you notice, there are other people that have their content flagged or removed for far less. And now he's in charge, but his tweet stands. Well, Twitter, when he took over, Twitter implemented some new policies almost immediately. Story on townhall.com. Story on townhall.com. One day after new CEO takes over Twitter, company announces what it calls a scary new policy. So Jack Dorsey stepped down, and the former chief technical officer, Parag Agrawal, is now the CEO. He jumps in there, and they put a policy in place, and they title the blog post that announced it, quote, expanding our private information policy to include media. Well, the best explanation of this that I found came from another article in The Federalist. And The Federalist literally says, it's a rule that allows them to ban memes and mockery of Democrats. That's what The Federalist says. Literally what it is saying, if you are posting a picture, a meme, an image of some kind that seems to mock someone else, even if they're a public figure, that they can decide to take that down because it would violate their policies relating to harassment, intimidation, or using fear to silence someone. So now all the great memes for like Let's Go Brandon and all that kind of stuff are suddenly suspect because they might be seen as demeaning to the president. You think? I think so. How about all the stuff that was done with, how about all the balloons? How about all of the baby Trump balloons that flew at parades? How about all of the imagery that we have of different public officials at all levels? It's okay when Republicans or conservatives get mocked, but they're going to have this policy that's going to give the same people who decide that you should not be allowed to say something that contradicts their claims of climate change or masking two-year-olds, they're going to be the ones that are now allowed to say, literally say that they can ban your meme because it might be mean to a public official. Yeah, okay. Well, that's Parag Agrawal's in. Jack Dorsey's out. And we're already seeing changes. Well, Agrawal, like I said, has his own baggage. But he comes in at a time, too, when the company has been going through it. So there is some indication that perhaps, I mean, I even saw one headline that questions whether or not the board asked for Jack Dorsey to please resign. Because if you look back on it, Dorsey got blasted during his tenure when they hid the Hunter Biden laptop, when they took down the New York Post's entire account because it had the Hunter Biden laptop, when they took down President Trump. And already Agrawal has been involved in what the company calls its misinformation campaigns. And a quote here from Agrawal in the MIT Technology Review that I found through a New York Post article. Thank you, New York Post, for lashing back out at Twitter. New York Post says, the quote is, I think, visit Agrawal, I think that's the existential question of our times. Defining misinformation is really, really hard. As we learn through time, our understanding of truth also evolves. Okay. Oh, boy. Agrawal claimed the company wouldn't try to adjudicate truth, end quote, but instead would focus on its, quote, potential for harm when it comes to certain content. But then who decides what's harmful? See, this is the scary part, y'all. The people that are in charge of the platforms, where 70% of Americans get their references to news, are deciding what they believe is harmful. And they're deciding it while hiding behind something called Section 230. Have you heard that term before? Let me just remind you, if you haven't heard it before, Section 230 is Section 230 of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. It was originally passed to sort of help keep online porn away from kids back when the internet was still coming up. It was part of the Communications Decency Act. And yet now, because what it did then was it said that online platforms have a right to remove certain offensive content from their platforms. Oh, okay. It was designed for one thing, like porn, to keep it out of the hands of kids so that someone who posts something that the owner of that platform could go, whoa, 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 and they could take that down without any fear of reprisal. However, they have now begun to hide behind it from pretty much everything. They will claim that, you know, even though human traffickers use Facebook to coordinate their efforts along the southern border all the time, that they have no responsibility for that. But yet they'll take down the president of the United States on Twitter because he had a mean tweet about somebody on the opposite side of politics. Well, Section 230 is under review. We come back, I'll finish up the show by telling you a few things about Section 230 that I think you need to know, because the liberals are claiming that Republicans want to kill it when the reality is the Biden White House wishes it was gone. All right, folks, we're heading to a short break right now. Kelsey, you can run us to the break. When we get back from that, we'll wrap up the day. Tomorrow, I'll have a stack of cough drops right here. Hopefully, I won't cough on the air again, and we will have a good time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Just plain right. We'll be right back.